I saw enough of them together to judge the pleasure she took in hurting him with her ready sneers and icy disdain. From this, I concluded that the Mandevilles didn't bed together. Well, that could explain a lot about Madame Annette's behaviour. And, in time, I set myself to supply her want, for she was a trim little half-pint, bar her shrew face. In 3 months, I would have money enough to move north again, I reckoned. So I laboured away, whopping niggers, mounting the occasional black wench in my quarters, and counting my dollars every fortnight. It was the approach of Christmas, with Mandeville absent more and more, that I came sniffing around Madame Annette. She didn't struggle. Her mouth opened, and she gave a little sob. When I pulled her free, holding her at arm's length, her eyes were shut and her face tight set. She motioned me to set her down. "Wait," she said in a whisper, and vanished into her dressing room. When she re-entered, she was a startling sight, for she was stark naked except for her riding boots. That took me aback, for it ain't usual among amateurs. But it was the rest of her that took the eye. In the buff, she was an undoubted little nymph. I reached out for her, and she came with her mouth open and her eyes shut, straining at me. And so to work, which proved none too bad, bar one unexpected and painful surprise. I was settling into my stride when I discovered why she had kept her boots on, for she suddenly clapped her legs around me, and so help me, those boots were spurred. There was no untangling her, for she clung like a limpet, and I could only wrestle away, yelping from time to time until we were done. I was stuck like a Derby winner. Then she pushed me away, put on a robe, and said, "Now get out." She went into her dressing room and bolted the door. Well, in other circumstances, I'd have taught her manners. But in a house full of niggers, you can't conduct an affair as though you were man and wife. So I dressed, staunching my wounds and muttering curses, and presently limped away, vowing that she'd had the last of me. But of course she hadn't. Mandeville returned next day, and I kept well clear of the house, but come the end of the week, he was off to Helena again, and I came sniffing round again the day after he left. To my surprise, she didn't either rebuff me or welcome me, but when I assailed her, she fell to with a will, though never a word, or a smile, or anything but a fierce, cold passion that almost scared me. It was damned spooky. And afterwards, when I tried to engage her in sociable chat, she sat moody and withdrawn, and I gave up. She was avid, however, for pleasure itself, and I visited her on each of the next 3 days. This was foolish, of course. I had been in the habit of opening one of her bedroom windows so we might hear if anyone approached the house from the road, but I grew careless and forgot. We had just finished a bout. Annette was lying face down, silent and sullen as usual, and I was trying to win some warmth out of her by biting her on the buttocks. Suddenly she stiffened, and in the same instant, feet were striding up the corridor, and Mandeville was shouting, "Annie! Hello, Annie, honey! I'm home! I've brought—" Then the door was flung open, and there he stood, the big grin on his red face changing to horror. My mouth was still open as I gazed across her rump, terror-stricken.
"My God!" cries he. "Betrayed!"
Well, I was off that bed before the last word had left his lips. He came for me, swinging his horsewhip and bawling with rage. I ducked the cut and slipped past him to the door, stumbling on the threshold. I glanced back in panic, but he was heading straight on for the bed, yelling,
"Filthy strumpet!"
and raising his whip again. But Annette, who had sprung up into a kneeling position, just snapped,
"Don't you dare touch me! Drop that whip!"
And he did. He fell back before that tiny, naked figure. Then he turned and hurled himself at me with a face of apoplexy. I was afoot again by this time, dragging up my breeches and haring for the landing. Then a man's figure loomed up at the head of the stair. I heard Mandeville shout, "Stop him!" And although I tried to dodge, I wasn't quick enough. Something smashed against my forehead, and I was falling into nothing.